It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop omahasteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Joanna Fortune is with us once again for parenting. Good afternoon, Joanna.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Afternoon at newstalk.com if you have any questions for Joanna. Here's the first question. I have two girls, 11 and 13. They've always idealised my brother's partner, particularly in the last few years as they moved towards their teens. My brother and his partner were never married, but they had been in a long-term relationship for 12 years. So as far as my two daughters can remember, she's always been referred to as their aunt. She's very glamorous and interesting, and it's easy to see why she was a role model to them. She's a very interesting job, travels a lot, even did a little bit of modelling in the past. Unfortunately, my brother recently split up with her. It's been about 6 weeks. He's really devastated because it appears she was cheating on him. Naturally, this has changed all of our opinions on her, and this is probably reflected in the way she's talked about now. That is, if she has talked about it at all. For the most part, my parents and my other brother and his wife have taken the approach of acting like she never existed. Before all of this happened, she was an integral part of the extended family, and we all really liked her. As such, I'm finding transitioning my daughters into the new reality a little difficult. They love her, and I'm reluctant to change their image of her. So far, we've just told them that they split up, but it's led to them asking some awkward questions of my brother. I'm not sure I want to break their hearts as well as his. Is there a good way to handle this?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, like, that's a bombshell.
It is. But you know what's interesting? What so much is interesting in it? The fall from grace here for the girlfriend is dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, to describe somebody over a 12-year period, which is really the life of these two little girls, they've never not known her. But to describe her as an integral part of the family, describing her as an aunt to now we just act like she doesn't exist.
Yeah.
In the last 6 weeks, that's dramatic. And given she was that integral part of the family, I'm not convinced. I know it's 6 weeks, everything is raw, big feelings, all of that. But I'm not convinced pretending somebody who is such a big part of all of your lives, just pretending she doesn't exist. I don't think it's helpful to anybody. Never mind the two little girls at the centre of this question. I don't even think it's helpful for the heartbroken brother in the middle of all of this. And I know like things in families, relationships are complex, and honestly, the only two people that really know what went on in that relationship, no matter how well the family knew her, is the brother and the ex-partner. And really, of course, when a member of your family is upset and described as devastated and heartbroken, everybody wants to rally up and defend their own. That makes complete sense. But I also think by denigrating or dismissing or simply erasing a person out of your family, all that does is create confusion for the children, because don't know this. They're not privy to the adult hurts, nor should they be. They're young kids, like they're 11 and 13. So I think how this parent has approached this thus far is absolutely appropriate. You know, name that they've broken up, their relationship is over. The fact that they've awkward questions, do you know what? That's okay. I don't know if there's anything that wouldn't be awkward in terms of questioning about this. I think it's okay. They're curious and they're naturally wondering, well, why? Why would he break up with her? She sounds fantastic, you know? So, of course, they have that. But having a question doesn't mean you're entitled to the details, you know?
Yeah.
So I think you do what you're doing and you simply say, look, yes, they were in love. Feelings changed. Yeah. They've decided not to be together again. It's sad because we loved having her in our family and we miss her. You're honest. You're validating. And if they're like, but why did they break up? But why? And do you know what? Those are really understandable questions. But the reasons are grown up. and they're private and they're not for us to know or to talk about. They're between your uncle and this lady. And you try to keep it like that. Now, Sean, I'm saying that. And yet it's coming up to that time of year when families gather together.
Yeah,
and, you know, maybe you some can see, you defenses know, come down and people are a little bit more liberal.
Yeah, truth. But even like, you know, so the name comes up and someone's face turns to thunder or several people's face.
Or there's
face.
A snarky side comment that you think kids won't get, but at 11 and 13, they'll absolutely get it.
If they haven't got it already.
I would agree with you. And so if they ask a question and, you know, a 13-year-old, the concept of cheating is not... Like, it's not new. They know what that means. Mm. I just don't think it's for them to know that about people that they love and care about. I think that's very adult content conversation. So going forward, in terms of is there a good way to handle it, is in a boundaried way. Mm. And it's about talking to each other as family members, as adults in the family, and saying, look, if we're spending time together, and one presumes you are, you sound like a really close family, but that if you that you don't speak negatively about this person. If the kids ask, oh, is she coming? Or, you know, we've got a gift for her or whatever it might be, that you handle that with grace.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of the children and all of that. I think as well, it's okay to say to the girls, like, we won't ask Uncle so-and-so about this because he's having a really hard time with it.
Mm,
and we're focused on supporting him because he's our family and she's going to have her family and friends supporting her. That's what happens when a relationship breaks up. But I think as well, you all have to take time. I think this is a loss for everyone in the family. I think it's why everybody's reacting the way they are.
Sure.
I think, you know, the parent, grandparents in this situation of these girls, but they're on the other side, they're acting like she didn't exist. That's not because of anything other than hurt.
Mm.
You're hurt. You know, she, it may be that she betrayed him and you're hurt on his behalf, but the truth is you feel she betrayed you all because you opened your hearts and your family to her and now it's over and you all loved her. And I think that's really hard. So don't pretend she didn't exist. Talk to each other about the hurt and give, it's only been 6 weeks, this letter says, you know, so give him time as well. But he also will come to a time when he has to be able to talk about her. She was a big part of his life for 12 years.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. So this parent maybe perhaps we're going to have to talk to her other adult family members and say, you know, let's
100%. I think how you're handling it with the girls is appropriate. You might just want to add the boundary piece. We're not going to ask Uncle about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, because he's going to be there at Christmas and Christmas is a tough time. This is all raw. Or any questions you have, you bring them to me. And I'll answer them as best I can, but we're not going to ask him and we're not going to talk about it in the family. But I think kids are kids. And I also think talk to the grown-ups about just holding a boundary on their unfiltered feelings about the situation. Is that a good diplomatic way to put it?
But they might opt, the best thing to do is just not mention them at all.
I know, but when you go out of your way to absolutely not mention someone, that's a lot of effort.
There's an episode of Young Sheldon where the grandmother's boyfriend has had a breakdown. And so he, you know, he's been away in hospital and then he comes back and then he, you know, it's his first time back and he's having dinner with the entire family. And of course, the parents say, don't mention the hospital. So the hospital is sitting there like an elephant in the sitting
exactly
of the room.
That's exactly what I think with this. So I just think don't be snarky about it. Don't speak negatively and don't think you're doing the wink, wink, nudge, nudge thing as grown-ups. Just don't. Just talk very honestly and openly that it's a sad thing that happened. We're all sad about it, but Uncle is especially sad and it's our job as his family to support him.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Mm. Someone's saying, I guarantee those two girls have seen enough of EastEnders or Home and Away to know what a cheating partner is. It should be outlined that the girlfriend wasn't faithful. She did something wrong and it wasn't Uncle's fault and she's not around anymore.
I mean, yeah, I don't know that I'd get into the fault thing because also it said it seems she was cheating. Like, I mean, these are all judgment actions. Yeah, I would probably try to stay out of this for kids. You're absolutely right, though. They read books. They watch, and preteen literature is full of these themes. I don't think for one moment they don't know the concept. Of course they do.
Yeah.
I just think it's a little bit much for them to know it about their own family.
Yeah. Plus also, if you know, if you're learning about that from EastEnders, you're also learning how people react to that in EastEnders. And that's not necessarily the most healthy way.
It's not the template that we're going to follow. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm on the opposite end of this one. Broke up with my spouse of 12 years I've been blocked by the whole extended in-laws and I miss my nieces and nephews so much.
That's exactly the point here. And I think coming up to Christmas, be really mindful of that, because there is loss, and anywhere there's loss, there's big feelings. But whatever right and wrong, and again, it's not my role to step into judgment on anybody, but this woman has also lost a lot of family and people and children who were a huge part of her life. So, you know, if there needs to be something to mark the occasion, kids may want to send a card, and then it's on the adults. Do we have it in us to facilitate that? And if the honest answer is no, Joanna, absolutely not doing it, then you have to be able to say we're taking some space and we're all going to take time to heal from this, and that means no contact for a while.
Yeah,
but just explaining it. These are 11 and 13. They're not 2 and 3 year olds.
Yeah. I have a 5-year-old boy who hates getting anything wrong, even things he wouldn't be expected to know. He says, I know everything. If someone corrects him, he becomes upset or annoyed or says things like, I don't like getting things wrong. If he says something's wrong, he will often say, oh, I knew, I was only just joking. He's also quite competitive and gets upset if he's not first with things, even everyday things, like getting dressed first in the morning or opening the door first. He's the eldest of three. I've three and he's only five. I've tried to create a team relationship and says it's all the kids working together to be first. And I try to model making mistakes myself in front of him to show that we all make mistakes. But I don't know if this is working. Although he's always had these traits, they seem to have increased since starting school. Any advice?
I think there's a little competitive edge to this. You know, not just I know everything. And you said it when you were reading out the question. He's the eldest of three and they're all under five. That's quite the little mosh pit of competitiveness, you know, because you've got these siblings nipping at your heels and you're trying to assert, well, you know, I'm the big kid, the big brother, and I know everything. And there could be a lot of that kind of swagger, developmental swagger, you know, there's a term for you. But that's what I think it might be. I also think, you know, and it's not just true of 5-year-olds. I mean, there's some fully grown up people out there who struggle with
this. Well, actually, this struck me that the kids of many ages do this a lot.
Absolutely.
And they go, you say something to them and they go, I know. And I don't know where that comes from.
I think a lot of the time it comes from, I know I don't want to talk about this with you. Let me shut this down. That's what I know. It mightn't be that. And it could be as well that getting things wrong in general elicits a response from all of us. And it's never a really good, comfortable one. It elicits things like fear, shame, embarrassment. We have a response that's kind of icky and uncomfortable. So the easiest thing is to go, I knew that. To try and minimize and shut it down. It's a defense against the vulnerability of mistakes, or that kind of that idea that there could be a whole world of stuff that I don't know. That's almost like walking into an abyss. It's easier to have a semblance of control. Now, I don't like getting things wrong. When he says that to you, I would pick up on it and say, why not? I say to him, I kind of enjoy getting things wrong because it's how I learn, and I love learning new things. He might need that explicitly spelled out for him. So modeling it in actions, I've made a mistake and blah. I think it's okay to say to him, I love making mistakes because I love learning. And if you don't make a mistake, you can't learn.
True.
And that is true.
Yeah.
I do think as well, I've mentioned it here before, and I'm going to add a second one in on this. The beautiful Oops book for his age in particular, Barney Salzberg, I think, is the author. But it's every page is a mistake, and it's a creative response to the mistake. So it could be a dog-eared page, a coffee cup stain, and it's what they've turned the mistake into. And you can take that book and then mirror it on paper in little art projects yourself. I think there's a blue cover version of that's a yellow cover, that book. This is how I know my books, the color of the covers. But the blue cover version of The Beautiful Oops is kind of a workbook one. But, you know, you can just copy it out into a notebook. But there's another book by Hervé Toulet. I probably have butchered that. T-U-L-L-E-T is the surname. And it's simply called Press Here. And it's I would describe it as a mindfulness book, really, for children. Every page it tells you to press, to blow on the page, to shake the page. It's just a board book, you know, really simple, visually very pleasing, bright colours. And it's about pushing a dot, pressing a dot in the book. There's no actual button, obviously, you're just touching the picture.
Yeah.
But it's very grounding and it just takes a kid really into the moment. A lovely, simple little book. I also think, though, if you start, and it is, again, the time of year for relatives are going to be saying to you, what will I get the kids? You know, so a board game for you all as a family. But, you know, doing your research, board games, it's a whole world out there, like beyond simple games that, you know, Buckaroo and Snakes and Ladders. both very valid games, nothing wrong with them. But there's a whole world of games out there that are going to touch off many, many different things. A lovely one I've been playing a lot recently is called Robot Face Race, where the whole lot, you shake this thing and it tells you the colour of the face, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, and then the board is cluttered with monster faces and you have to find the face that matches that and put your little counter down on it. So the whole point of the game is about attention to detail.
Yeah.
It's not about right and wrong. It's about who can really focus in on detail and look at things. Little games that celebrate effort over outcome, about trying and having fun with that. There's so many out there that you could really do a bit of research on and get into. So also, as I said, you know, really talking, because while mistakes are uncomfortable, and I don't want to make it sound like just because they're great, you know, mistakes lead to growth, of course, but you have to reframe mistakes as learning opportunities for him, not failures.
Yeah.
I do think there's a little bit of defense, but behind that, I want to think about self-worth and self-esteem, because children tie their self-worth to what their parents think of them. So often they don't want to make mistakes in front of us because they want us to think they're great. So a lot of this is about working on his self-esteem. So getting behind the need to be right and to know everything and build him up from the inside out. I think then the need to know everything will go.
Yeah. Okay, I just have time for one quick one. We have recently relocated to another part of the country. My two-year-old has started sucking her thumb, which I assume is related to the move. Should we stop her doing it by using a deterrent or accept it and hope she stops by herself? I hate the thought of her damaging her teeth when she's older.
I love the word deterrent.
Oh,
what does
God.
That mean?
They plant a series of nuclear weapons outside her
little,
bedroom.
Putting a little rubber thing on her finger and the little taste. It sounds like comfort seeking. It sounds like an attempt at self-regulation. I think it's really typical to have regression in behaviour when there's been a big change. A moving house, the biggest change there can be. Let's be honest. I would focus on settling her into the new area, familiarising herself with it and her new home, her new space. Lots of nurture, you know, holding, cuddling. She's only two. Dancing with her, swaying, anything like that. Sensory play, think of your messy, tactile, sand, water, bubbles, Play-Doh, all of that stuff. And getting outside with her, lots of movement in the outdoors, because you're trying to get her to work through in an embodied way all of confusion she can't possibly work out cognitively at 2 years old or express it emotionally at 2 years old. So you're trying to work it out in a doing way. Mm. I think if you do that, the need for sucking the thumb may sort itself out, because she clearly had previously overcome it. And this is a regression. But if it's still there in, say, 3 months, then I would go back to sort of more proactively phasing it out in whatever way you did first time round. Because any dentist listening will, and even speech and language therapists will say, don't let it linger.
Yeah, sure. Actually, because the question says my two-year-old has started sucking her thumb. I don't know if it,
it's a regression. Yeah, oh, I
or
see,
maybe
and
she
I read
just started doing it.
Maybe it's new. It's still comfort, though, when you think about it.
Yeah.
It's still that rhythmic and the sucking, that oral regulation. Getting her to blow bubbles is coming to my mind. Now, she's two. The rule is the adult holds the bubbles.
Okay? Yes.
Or you wear the bubbles and hold it in front of her. She has to take a deep breath in and she has to blow through her mouth. So you're bringing the oral movement that the sucking of the thumb will also be stimulating for her. And you're doing it in another way. Also getting her as best she can at two to fill her little cheeks with air and doing pop cheeks with her is another way to do that. And also it's bringing some movement into her jaw to fill your, I'm doing it now like people can see me, filling your cheeks with air and just popping them opens up the jaw and brings movement. It's that same area that she's going for comfort. So anything like that, even getting a feather and just having her blow it along the floor to you and you blow it back, anything like that would be a really good way to work on it.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks a million as ever, Joanna.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. And there's no better time to score big savings on unforgettable gifts. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site wide and an extra 20% off select packages at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.